You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. 5 years ago, at this time, we were following the story of Lauren McCullough, a young woman from Elk Grove who had been diagnosed with Ewing's sarcoma. Her diagnosis came just after high school graduation. Lauren created a blog that turned out to be very popular. She called herself and the blog The Not Dying Girl. And here's part of a conversation that she and I had that you might have heard here on Insight, January 29th, 2014.
If we can just keep my cancer stable and not cure it, just kind of keep it under control, then I don't really care. I can deal with that. If it's still in my body, not doing anything, not growing, that's kind of, I can deal with that. It's, they're not going to cure me at this point because just the research isn't done on childhood cancers, and especially this one, it's so aggressive and it doesn't have a very good prognosis for anyone who's got it a second time.
And she was fighting her second battle against that cancer. The way she talked about cancer and used her experience to push for funding and research inspired many, many people. And after that experience with her, I wanted to tell her story for a bigger audience. So I tapped into my television roots. I partnered with Dos Equis Productions, Jim Equis and Suzanne Equis-Wall, and we have produced a documentary titled The Not Dying Girl. So in a few minutes, I'll give you details about the free screening that's happening next week and air dates on KVIE. But in the studio with me, I'm very happy to welcome Lauren's parents, Deanne and John. Thank you both for being here. John, it's your first time joining us.
Yes.
I'm glad you came in. And Deanne, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Also here for the conversation is Lauren's doctor from Kaiser Roseville, oncologist, hematologist, Dr. Kent Jolly. Dr. Jolly, thanks for coming in.
Glad to be here to represent all of Lauren's doctors.
So, Deanne and John, what do you hear most often about the impact of Lauren's life and the work that she did to try to use her own experience to make it a bigger, more global conversation?
I really hear from so many people how she inspired them, how her positivity, going through everything she went through, really taught them about how to appreciate life and what you have and not what you don't have. I hear from so many people saying she, although they never met her, they think of her often, and they think about how she was so positive and how their life has been impacted in a way that they couldn't have predicted. I hear from people on the East Coast that we put on her blog about the documentary and how they still think of her, and it's been almost 5 years, and it's amazing to hear her impact on others.
She did lose her cancer battle just 4 days after that clip was heard on Insight. And yet she called herself the not dying girl. That must have been difficult at first, John, when you found out that that's...
It was a shock when she told me that she had a blog, and I asked her the name, and she said the not dying girl. And I had to stop, you know, just for a minute, because I was writing it down and then realized what it was, and knowing that she was terminal at that time. So
what do you hear about the way she dedicated herself to a bigger conversation about childhood cancer?
Well, it's about what Deanne had just said. It's really just the positive message that she had. You can have every day a good day. You can have every day a bad day. It's your choice. She chose a good day for the rest of her life. Hmm.
Dr. Jolly, let's talk a bit about Ewing's sarcoma. And it's in a group of rare childhood cancers.
Yes. And fortunately, most children never get one. Most families never hear of Ewing sarcoma because it is so rare. But that also, as Lauren mentioned, means that there's relatively little research being done on it and relatively little progress in advances of treatment for it. Relapsed Ewing sarcoma in particular is almost always incurable. And so when her disease came back, we had that conversation and she understood that from the beginning and did decide to focus on the positives. But she also wanted to focus on the future. Even though she knew hers would be short, she tried to get the word out about Ewing sarcoma and the need for research and the need for new drugs and the importance of the ongoing effort to improve the treatment.
So she talked about the underfunding of pediatric cancers compared to adult cancers and the under-research. I know there are a number of clinical trials going on through the National Cancer Institute related to Ewing sarcoma specifically. St. Jude's, the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, others are working on this. But how does that compare to what happens in the field of adult cancer?
Well, through the work of people like Lauren and the Sarcoma Society, there are several new studies, as you say. 5 years ago, that wasn't true. Most of these studies are pretty new. And advocacy is very important to continue this work. Very small amounts of money go into pediatric research because the market for the products is going to be small. If you think about something like adult lung cancer or adult breast cancer or adult prostate cancer, there are literally millions of patients who are potential customers for your product. There are only a few hundred Ewing sarcomas per year, and they're all in children and young adults. So the market is very small. The wealth of the customers is low. The insurance company may not even cover it while it's experimental. So the financial incentives to advance this kind of research are very minimal. Hence, the importance of academic institutions, charitable institutions, and the government in funding this kind of research.
Did that surprise you, Deanne, John, the economy of cancer, and in particular, the smaller economy of childhood cancer?
It really did, because until Lauren was diagnosed, we didn't look into childhood cancer at all. You know, we were living in our own bubble like most Americans until Lauren was diagnosed. And then we start looking up and the statistics you see are of the government funding that goes into cancer research, only 4% is dedicated to childhood cancers. And you think that our children are so precious to all of us and you can't imagine that the lawmakers and the powers that be think about the human side of it. And, you know, I've been in the business world for a long time, so I get the the economics of it all. Businesses are into business to make money and not lose money. But what about what's right? And what about the children? And unfortunately, through this process, we met other children who, you know, didn't make it either. And I can't help but think, what could they have done with everything they learned through this experience, what could they have done to the world to make a difference had they survived?
That's Lauren McCullough's mom, Deanne. Her dad, John, is here. And Lauren's doctor, one of her doctors from Kaiser Roseville, Dr. Kent Jolly, is with us. So the new documentary about Lauren is titled The Not Dying Girl. There is a free screening at the Crest Theater on January 31st. You have to register for an Eventbrite ticket, but we'll post a link. You can also search eventbrite.com for The Not Dying Girl. I thought we would share a clip from the trailer, so take a listen.
Lauren was amazing from the very beginning.
Do things that make you happy.
She was very interested, even while she was on treatment, in reaching out to other teenagers and other young adults who had Ewing sarcoma, and she became very active in trying to advocate for research in children's cancer.
So many people who have a connection to pediatric cancer, they've heard of Lauren or they read her blog.
Other people can read and feel empowered and feel the way she did. I saw it in her eyes. She was determined to do this and beat it, and she did.
She had her whole body scanned. The results came back saying there was no cancer.
She popped right out of therapy and ran off to junior college.
She was back in her element. The fire was relit, and she was ready to just go.
Lane 8, Lauren McCullough.
And then came the conference championship meet.
Go, Lauren!
And her time on the backstroke that qualified her for the state championships.
And there's Dad, excited she was such a swimming champ. What does it mean that another project has been produced focused on your daughter's life, John, that she continues to be the not dying girl?
It's kind of unbelievable. She's never really left any of us. And so I don't know from other parents, but who've had this situation. But, you know, for us, she's never left us. So this is not really, this is just wonderful. I don't know what else to say.
I'd like to talk more about families and advocacy. What do you see, Dr. Jolly, as a pathway for families who want to speak out more and increase awareness in many ways?
Well, certainly the importance of independent funding for research is very great. So the institutions where it's being done, like St. Jude, the organizations like the Children's Oncology Group, and the governmental agencies like the National Cancer Institute are going to be critical in the advancement of children's cancer because, again, it's not a profitable endeavor, so it has to be an academic endeavor instead. Families can help that at all three levels. Those who have resources can donate. Those who have energy can advocate. Those who have the vote can lobby.
And at this point, is there anything new and hopeful on the horizon for Ewing sarcoma in particular?
There are some new drugs that are being experimented with right now. The goal for some time has been to find an agent that might interfere with the abnormal gene that is created as part of the development of Ewing sarcoma. The tumor cells almost always have a mutation that combines parts of two different genes on two different chromosomes into a new gene that does something abnormal. And so there is precedent in other cancers for being able to target these abnormal gene products and turn other types of cancer off. And that hypothesis is being applied to this Ewing's translocation also. They're still phase one trials at the moment, meaning that it's at the earliest stages of experimentation, but at least it's a good start.
And there are still children being diagnosed with Ewing sarcoma.
Unfortunately,
there
are. Mm-hmm. A few hundred per year of new cases, and of those, about a third who relapse and then start over again from scratch.
Same question to the two of you in terms of advocacy, because your work in particular with St. Baldrick's has continued. John will often have a shaved head about the time about the time of that fundraiser. Will you say more about what your family has continued to do, Deanne?
Yes. Before Lauren passed away, there was no St. Baldrick's fundraiser in Elk Grove. So she was getting together with the Lupercios, a family who had lost someone years ago to childhood leukemia. And she got with them and wanted to do a St. Baldrick's fundraiser because, like she stated, she was trying to raise awareness not for her, but for those kids who had not yet been diagnosed. So every year since then in 2014, we have had a St. Baldrick's fundraiser, and we're having another one for Elk Grove March 14th. And yes, John,
at BJ's
in Elk Grove, 4 to 8 is the shavings. But John shaves his head. Our son Mark shaves his head.
Lauren's younger
mm-hmm. brother. He has done it every year, even at the age where you're very concerned about how you look and looking different than anyone else. and the little boy next door started it at age 7.
Aww.
And he has done it every year since also. The event has grown, but St. Baldrick's provides funding for this research. So that's why it was so important to Lauren, because it's not not only helping people who have already been diagnosed with expenses, living expenses, which has a great place in people's lives, but she really wanted to start at the foundation of let's find out how we can cure these cancers and how we can hopefully even prevent them from ever occurring again.
John, do you think that her voice, her message is getting louder? Do you think more people are feeling like they can influence change in this arena?
Change is a difficult thing. So I certainly hope so. I don't know. I've also taken a look. You know, once a year I do a Google search on new drugs and new items for Ewing sarcoma. And, you know, this other thing looks good. It'll be quite a few years into the future. I would have been chomping in the bit. I would have been yelling. I would have been going out of the country to do something. At the time, there was nothing even out of the country. There was a hope. So otherwise, we would have done that.
And fortunately, modern social media and things like Lauren's blog do allow us to build and expand this kind of thing. I think it is a help that people like her who've been so articulate and who've made such a record of their efforts can then inspire other people to follow on and build upon it. That's an advantage that we didn't have 20 years ago when the families were more isolated. There weren't things like St. Baldrick's to connect each other, and there weren't research projects that were very promising at that time.
In fact, there is a ribbon for childhood cancer awareness, but you can ask 10 people, and I don't know how many would actually say they know the color. So you're all grinning. I know
yes.
You all know the color.
We do.
So here we go on three. One, two, three.
Gold.
It's a beautiful gold ribbon, but you're absolutely right. There are now dozens of different colors. And it's still a small issue and a small organization compared to many of the others.
And that was something that didn't get past Lauren. When you go back to the 70s, breast cancer was something not talked about, and we didn't know about the pink ribbon. And with the public getting behind it and pressing for advances in treatments, breast cancer awareness is out there and everybody knows about it. And Lauren's goal was to make childhood cancer awareness as common as breast cancer awareness has now become.
And it's important to stress that children's cancers are different from adults. Many diseases, something simple like pneumonia, that's remarkably similar regardless of your age. But children's cancers are quite different. Ewing sarcoma sometimes occurs in adults, but really is not similar or equivalent to any other type of adult cancer. And so the research for Ewing sarcoma really needs to be quite specific.
The show will start airing on February 6th at 7 p.m. as part of KVIE's Viewfinder series. And after that, it will be posted online at kvie.org. And so you'll be able to see it and find it. I want to add that this program, Insight, was the place that we first met Lauren. It was the place where we heard her final public words. And as I said, it was just 4 days before she died. So I thought I would share just the end of that interview. And thank you for being gracious about letting us play this important time in all of your lives.
I want to be normal. I really want my normal life back, where I could be the swimmer and go to college. It's tough. It's kind of what cancer takes away from you is being normal.
Lauren McCullough, the Not Dying Girl. We will post links to the trailer, Eventbrite, KVIE, and our past interviews here on Insight. Dr. Jolly, thank you so much for the work you continue to do. You and the pediatric team, Deanne, John, Thank you for the openness about your life and sharing, Lauren, with us.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for continuing her message.
That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Thanks for joining us.